listening to Belt of Truth, Conversations Arming Laity, powered by the Armor of God Men's Movement. Visit our website at armingmen.com.
This is Father Mark Gertner of the Diocese of Fort Wayne, South Bend. I'm so happy to be here and to support the Belt of Truth podcast. I hope that this podcast always serves as a strengthening of faith for all who listen.
Heavenly Father, we ask that you would send your Holy Spirit to open our ears, our minds, our hearts for all the gifts that you wish to give us in this time set aside to learn from you, to be reminded that we exist entirely for the praise of your glory. Bless all who will listen to this podcast, those who will share it and invite other people into it, that you might be praised as you deserve. We ask this in your holy name, Jesus the Lord. Amen.
Welcome, friends. You're listening to The Belt of Truth. I'm Rob Gregory. I'm here with some friends of mine, Glenn and Vaughn, and they're here to talk to us about a group that they're a part of. Guys, what's the name of this group?
Yeah, we are the St. Augustine's Men's Group. We've been a laity group for 5 years. I guess it's been 5 years now, and still functioning at a good level. We meet every Saturday morning at various churches and two Thursday nights throughout the month as well.
What's the purpose of the group?
We help men try to deal with and get control of their addiction to pornography or sexual sin.
Wow. An item and a topic in our country, in our society today, that I would feel is under discussed. So thank you for your boldness to come here today to talk about this. If that's the mission of your group, how many men are you guys encountering regularly?
So our group consists of probably regular meetings about 10 guys, but we also probably have 30 guys that are in and out of different meetings. Believe it or not, some of the best messages and results from the meeting happen before we walk in the door. There's a lot of guys that are afraid to walk in. There's a lot of guys that have heavy burdens that will never walk in to the room because of the shame and the burden that they walk with. But I get text messages from guys that are very thankful for the group. They think they're part of the group. They never walked in the door. Because we're a resource, I guess we've kind of put ourselves out there a little bit to talk to guys that maybe they can have a private conversation, or their marriage is in peril, or sometimes their whole life is in peril and they just need somebody to say, you understand. And that's what I think Vaughn has really done a great job of providing, and just being a resource for guys that are struggling.
Again, with society the way it is, technology the way it is, this has become a massive, massive issue, right? Pornography and men's addiction to pornography. So Vaughn, talk a little bit about, why is this necessary? Are there statistics that you can throw at us or anything that you can talk about why this is even a conversation worth having?
Yeah, there's a lot of statistics out there. One of the main sites we rely on is Covenant Eyes, and they've got plenty of reports out there that even boys the age of 7 are getting exposed to pornography. Because back in the day when we were kids, you actually had to work for it. You had to hide the magazine, you had to buy the magazine or steal the magazine, whatever the case may be, and then you had to hide it so your parents didn't find it. Now, any kid with a phone can find it easily, even with a relatively innocent internet search. You look for one thing and you get a bunch of other stuff. And then it just compiles upon that, because Google and everybody else tracks everything you do online. So if they notice you're doing these kind of searches, then they kind of, the algorithm, as they love to say, you know, points you in a different direction. So, and I work at a school, we've had a couple of students where they've been busted doing things like that on school devices. And we've had to have conversations with them. But yeah, it is scary. I mean, pornography is, it's a relationship killer. It's a marriage killer.
So how does your group work? What do you guys do at some of these meetings?
So we have a introduction where we pray and we ask for the guys to check in a little bit with their name and just have some accountability to laugh with us. Because me and Vaughn, one thing we did right away was we kind of tried to lighten up the mood. Like, we're just a couple of guys that get together. Not that this isn't a very serious sin, but the reality is that we privately and sometimes in our own challenges, we isolate. So when these guys come here, it's a big step forward. Maybe their wife made them come. Maybe they're in a bad situation, bad marriage, bad whatever. And they don't even know what to say. So we just make it light and easy, and we laugh at each other. I always make fun of Vaughn's hairstyle, which Rob, you're styling as well.
Yep.
But it just kind of lightens up the mood that, hey, you're not alone, is the first thing. You know, if you can get that shame off your shoulders and laugh a little bit. And when you struggle, come to the meetings. You know, the biggest sin that happens in the group is they don't come back, because then they try to fight it on their own. And so many people tried to fight this addiction on their own and it didn't go well. So once they come in, they get the strength to kind of see a future and kind of see hope and kind of see some people that are maybe struggle, but also kind of laugh about it and talk to their wives and pray about it and go to church and, you know, really are trying hard every day to battle this thing.
You know, what was eye-opening to me is the science behind this, right? So the fact that there's actually, you know, a dopamine release for men to, or women, obviously, when they kind of get into this habit, and it becomes an addictive thing because your brain gets wired to receive that. That's alarming that something like that can be addictive. Talk a little bit about that, Vaughn.
Well, a lot of guys think that just attending the meetings or whatnot, it's just going to go away. And there was a phrase I heard years ago about if you're an alcoholic, once you're a recovering alcoholic, you're always a recovering alcoholic. And I always hated that phrase. But you just have to understand this is something that doesn't go away. You know, it's something you have to learn to struggle with. And, you know, and we talk different techniques of balancing your eyes and then balancing your mind and, you know, coping mechanisms to not fall what we call the rabbit hole. Because once you start going down that rabbit hole, then it's hard to get out of it. And that's where we offer support through. We have a group me that we share if anybody needs prayers or anything like that. We highly encourage men to have accountability partners that they can check in with. Again, to make sure people know that they're not alone and that there's people out there that are praying for them, that are able to help them, you know, get out of whatever situation they're in.
Mm-hmm. And we really encourage the Sacrament of Reconciliation, if not, you know, weekly, biweekly, you know, monthly, you know, really get a serious regimen of checking in with the sacraments, because so many times when you're in shame, you run away from the sacraments, you run away to the good. And we kind of encourage the guys, run to the good, you know, go take your sins to the Lord, put them on the cross and see what you can do with them. And by getting good counseling from your priest, you have such a better fighting chance at this.
Well, you talk about a fighting chance. I mean, we live in a society that's over-sexualized, and I mean, you know, on a daily basis, it's going to be a struggle, right? Because society is telling us the opposite. You know, your sexuality is yours, do what you want with it, you know, all this other stuff. So, I mean, how does a man combat that today? If that's an issue for them, how are they going to walk the walk throughout the day and have to win that fight?
Well, as Vaughn said earlier, the guys are getting hit at such an early age. You know, most guys are getting hit with pornography before puberty. So when you're getting hit at the average age of 7 to 11 with pornography, you think that's how life is supposed to be. And that's obviously a very skewed vision of any sexuality, to your point. And most of us at our age bracket, we found our pornography in bad places, under a mattress or in the, you know, I found my first pornography in a trash can. And most guys will remember to the day where they found it, what they found it. They were stained in their brain from that event. And most of the times, because they haven't even hit puberty yet, or they're very, very innocent age where things are starting to happen in their life and it really skews their vision. And 40 years later, it's still affecting you. And that's really scary that it can have that big an impact. The average 11-year-old right now, they say 85% of 11 to 14-year-olds are looking at pornography on a monthly basis.
85%.
It's an epidemic, and no one wants to say that because exactly what you said, my sexuality is my own. I can, you know, have my own pronouns, my own blah, blah, blah. They're kind of, if you look at the world, it looks very different than from the Catholic Church perspective. Mm-hmm. But that's scary. 85% of males, and it's 56% of females now. Mm. So it's growing in all epidemics of this. It's just really, really a problem.
I would argue that regardless of where you're at in your faith life, or even if you're Catholic or not, society should care about this, right? Because like you said, there's a dehumanization that is happening here, and they're devaluing the sexual relationship to the point where this has become dangerous. I mean, we have now sex trafficking. I mean, that's a topic and a conversation I never thought I'd hear in my lifetime. And it's happening on a regular basis now.
The number one word, search word in pornography is slave. And that's what people are seeing. That's the activity that they're seeing. That's the whole, you know, premise around the activity. And it becomes, you know, one-dimensional instead of a union or a connection. And it's just a very different look at it.
This is not just a man's issue, though.
No, not at all.
And it's getting worse with women now, too. And unfortunately, I had somebody contact me a couple of years ago, a female, and I gave her all the documents and things that we started with and things that got cleaned up, but I never heard back from her again. We would love to help a women's group get started if they would like our help. One of the words that I had learned early on with the whole thing with society, you know, what you had asked, what's the one thing men can do to avoid that, is stay away from whatever society is telling you is normal. And they're saying, you know, masturbation is normal. They're saying pornography is normal. No, normal is not what God intended. If that's your definition of normal, it's a perverted version of what God intended sex to be between a man and a woman.
Yeah, I agree with you guys being bold and taking this issue on, which I greatly appreciate for the benefit of our society. Where do you feel like you need to go as an organization? I mean, obviously you'd probably love to have more men be there on a regular basis, right?
It's funny, when we started this, Father Ben Mollenkamp and there's maybe three other guys that were leaders. We thought, okay, we're going to rent out Dwenger's cafeteria. We're going to have 400 people show up. We're going to do this. And he was like, you need to scale this back just a little bit. And, you know, now we kind of know that, you know, that 10 to 20 range is probably accurate, where people can share. There's a little more intimacy. Guys can let down their walls a little bit and just be comfortable in their own skin, because I think a lot of us think our thoughts are our actions. Our thoughts are our whole soul. And sometimes thoughts, Father Andrew Budinski would say, just, you know, sometimes it's a train. It just kind of comes in your brain and it kind of can go away if you let it go away. And that really helped me kind of think about how to deal with some of the visions. Because once you look at pornography, it sticks with you forever. You know, those things just don't go away. So you start having fantasies one moment, and, you know, how do you train yourself to let them go? Like Vaughn was saying, we try to talk about those skills that help guys just to let things go. Like, you're not bad for having a thought. You're bad for action. You're bad for taking things to another level. But for what we try to, you know, help gentlemen with is just honesty and hope. You know, I think that's the biggest gift we can give them.
So you talk about honesty and hope and actionable items. I mean, I would say there's going to be people listening to this podcast that think this, that they're so seeped in sin that they can't get out. What do you say to those people?
Well, the young generation, I think, is feeling it the most, because like Vaughn said, you know, I mean, how many kids sleep with their phones now? It's everything's there. Their alarm clock's there. Their, you know, all their social media is there. All their homework is there. Everything filters through one device. And, you know, my daughter likes to pray the rosary as she goes to bed. And so she's playing it on her phone before she falls asleep. And it's just a societal thing that's easy access. So we have to really train the freedom to say no. And we try to supply our meetings with a book. So we're always reading a book along with kind of a topic for each meeting. And we did Robert Rogers' Stay Pure. We did the Forged book with Jason Everett and Matt Frad, which is fantastic. We did The Evil Within with Father Menendez. We're just finishing that book, and we're getting ready to start a consecration to St. Joseph. So we're always trying to do something that's going to better yourself and better your faith and try to connect those things. And I think that's where guys need to start. They need to really look at the music that goes through their head, the food that they eat, the activities, the daily habits that they have. And if they can really break some of those things down, they can break some of those bad habits.
If I could answer the question you had, though, that I'm too deep into it, there's no way for me to get out. That's not God saying that. That's the devil saying that. That's the enemy telling you that, along with those other lies of, well, I'm really not cheating. It's not a real person. You know, all these lies that we've been, you know, led to believe is the truth. You know, I can go to communion because I'm really not, you know, committing a sin. No, you're committing a mortal sin, and you going to communion is even, you know, heaping burning coals upon your head. You know, so if you're having this problem, and especially for those that don't think they have a problem, with Lent coming up, this would be a perfect opportunity. If you don't think it's a problem, give it up for 40 days. You'll find out real quick if it's a problem or not. But don't give up on yourself. That's what the enemy wants you to do. He wants you to give up. My answer to that is give us a try. If you don't like it, or if it doesn't work for you, there is other groups out there, but we're the only Catholic organization in this area that is doing this.
And how often do you meet again?
So we meet the first and third Thursday of every month at St. Peter's, the first and third Saturday of every month at St. Elizabeth's, and the second and fourth weekend at St. Vincent's.
So there's a lot of opportunities for men to plug in
there. And Glenn talked about, our group is about, once we get about two dozen, then we try to take a census of where all the men are coming from, and then try to see if we can get with the pastor at that parish to find out if we can, you know, start a group there. And that's what we've been trying to do, is growing the group so it gives more men the opportunity, because that's what the men want. A lot of the men want more opportunities to be able to come to a meeting. Some work during the weekends, so that's why we started St. Peter's, even though St. Peter's was the parish that we started at. So we've got the weekends at St. Vincent's and St. Elizabeth's, and, you know, if we get enough people at another parish, then we try to accommodate them at their parish. You know, we figure if it's going to be, first thing we try to do is we try to best accommodate the priests. We've been telling priests and even the deacons, use us as a resource. We don't want you guys taking this all on your own. Give us the men, and then, you know, you can use them as, you know, advisors and things like that. But yeah, we try to work first and foremost with the convenience of the priests. You'd be amazed at how many more men show up when they know priests are going to be at this meeting.
Mm-hmm. Why do you think that is?
I think it's a normal thing. Men like to be close to their spiritual leaders. You know, as much as it's repugnant to God of what this sin is, a sexual sin, you know, I think a true man really wants to get over this. Some of us can do it by themselves. A lot of them can't. And we're just there offering the resources and the time, because there may be something one man's doing that another man's struggling with that they can help, that we help each other out with those kind of things. But when we had a meeting, we need to do it again with Rhodes. Bishop Rhodes, we had like three tables full of guys there because Bishop was there. But anytime we have more priests that are there, even if they're just sitting back there, a lot more men come.
I mean, so you're getting the support of priests and our bishop because they recognize that this is an ever-growing issue, correct?
Correct. I mean, we've now it's come to the point where the diocese really isn't printing the cards for us anymore. They're printing them for the priests that actually ask for the cards. So instead of us trying to run around all over the parishes, they're sending them out directly.
Yeah. I don't want to sound pessimistic about this, but the fact that almost every outlet that a man or woman looks at, regular news cycles, you know, Fox News to CNN, you know, the commercials, the shows you watch on TV on the evening news or whatever, all the way to the Super Bowl. You can't get away from it. It's everywhere.
Everything's sexualized.
Yeah.
But if you look back at the Bible, these stories aren't new. You know, they're just Satan's reruns. You know, I think he likes to redo them and revamp them and increase technology so it's easier and the access is better. But the same story, you know, that David struggled with, we struggle with. You know, he saw a woman outside of a window and did some horrible things. You know, not only did he have an affair, but then he had her husband killed. And these things that we fall to, these manly spirits that we kind of connect with are worldly, you know, terrible things. But a lot of times guys, they'll sit in the back row of church. They won't get involved in, you know, being a Eucharist minister, an usher and things. And again, those are things that we encourage these guys to get involved, you know, take their faith forward. Because what I've learned, that we're both converted Catholics, is that we should use the full force of the Catholic Church. It's really easy to be a cafeteria Catholic and try to defend yourself and all this stuff. But the reality, I need the whole enchilada, otherwise I'm going to struggle. And the priests add a lot of insights. They bring a lot of good qualities to the meetings. We can't get them there enough. We like them to be there all the time, but they do hand out a lot of business cards during confession saying, hey, you might want to check this out to help you with this battle, because these guys are fighting for you. You know, they're praying for you. They're hoping that you come. All these tools are there. We use the Clean a Heart book. And the Clean a Heart book, if you really read it, it's got the path to freedom. And that path, we've read the book, what, 6-8 times probably. Every time we learn something new, there's new saints that battle the same thing that we battle. Again, it's just Satan's reruns, I think, that like to hit us in different angles and different views and different weaknesses of our life. And the ability to change our thinking can change our actions.
How does somebody find your group?
If you do a search for St. Augustine Men's Group, you're going to, especially Fort Wayne, it'll take you to the diocesan webpage. We used to have our own webpage, but the benefit of being on the diocesan webpage is it legitimizes us because it's actually hosted on their site. So they can either do that or they can email staugustinefwsb@gmail.com.
So they can email you or find you on that website.
Or they can get a card from a priest.
So most of the priests are armed with that.
I would hope so.
We do run some bulletin notifications, but we really are a group of attraction. We're not promoting big avenues of places to grab people because we know it's a private battle for a lot of guys. And most of our locations are private where you can be off to the side. You're not in the middle of an environment where you're going to, because not all the spouses know the guys are there. Mm. So some drag their husbands there, some go because they know they have a problem and they want to get in there and get things adjusted. So we have to be cognizant of both.
Yeah. So you talked about the path to freedom. Mm-hmm. Walk us through that. What is the path to freedom?
So the path to freedom is a lot of things that we've been talking about, but it's accountability. You know, when you show up to a meeting where you probably don't want to be and you probably have other things to do and you don't want to face this addiction, that's the first step, is just walking through the door, showing up. The second thing is sharing, you know, sharing some of your triggers and some of your problems and trying to, you know, connect with some of the guys in the room, because we're stronger together as guys than we'll ever be independent. And then, you know, really just getting your knowledge base up of what this disease does. You know, I had a guy that I know that was facing some criminal activity from this and he committed suicide. It devastates your family. You know, if you were doing this in the, you know, in the openness of your room or your house or your church, you'd be embarrassed. But, you know, the reality is this is a very private thing that people want to handle on their own. And we call it the white knuckling, you know, where you're trying to do things on your own. But just coming forward and reading the resources and learning about yourself and kind of growing into a place where you can walk away. And that's that true freedom where you can walk towards the faith instead of running away from it.
Glenn, you called it a disease.
I believe it is. I really think it's an epidemic right now. I think the challenge that we face is just being realistic about it. That when 85% of young adults are getting hit with this at a rapid pace and the age demographic up to 50 is huge, there's millions and millions of dollars being spent on pornography. The sex trafficking is, you know, growing. There's just so many negative effects. Marriage rates are in the toilet because people are, you know, struggling. They'd rather have a computer than a real person. You know, think about the devastation that society's having. It can make you really sad really quick, but the freedom can come that so many people now are stepping up saying, you know what, we need to face this. There's some non-religious entities now that are saying this is the new drug. Mm-hmm. You know, this is no different than fentanyl. If you look at, you know, how things are, fentanyl kills a lot more people, but this is killing people's marriages. Souls and marriages.
And families, yeah. Yeah, I spent some time with Tim Tebow a few months ago. And he told me personally, this is his new item to tackle. You know, he understands how deep this is, the sex trafficking and the pornography issues. So to see someone like him identify that was pretty powerful as well. I mean, I think we have to say out loud that as we try to get men to reclaim their priestly authority of their homes, that's the mission of Armor of God. That said, we have to say boldly out loud that Satan wants us to fail like this. He wants us to grab a hold of this, right? He's dangling this out there and making this very easy to get our hands on and then lying that this is not a big deal.
And he wants the men to be alone. He wants them to be solitary. He wants them to be embarrassed and hunkered down and faced away from the light that we're supposed to be going to. He wants us solitary because we're an easier prey for them than if we're as a group. You know, when we're at church or whatever, when we're, you know, what's the Bible say? When more than one is gathered here, I'm with you. You know, so he wants us shamed. He wants us, and he plays both sides of that line to get you to stay away. I think the one phrase that would identify our group is we try to get everybody back to the sacraments as quickly and properly as possible. Because like Glenn was talking about, you know, you don't want anybody to know about it. You want to do it by yourself. You want to go to communion, even though you're in an active, you know, mortal sin. And that's the worst thing you can do. So we encourage accountability. We encourage the sacraments, you know, go to reconciliation, use all the tools that we have as a Catholic at our disposal, rosaries, you know, Benedictine medals, all those things, you know, that this is my shield. I've got a crucifix on my chest, which is my chest plate. And then I've got a rosary in my pocket all the time, you know, because those are my spiritual tools.
Yeah. I heard a talk at one of our retreats and a man talked about how he wrapped his phone around with a rosary because it allowed him to have that arming of the tool that he used to get his hands on pornography the most. Mm-hmm. I thought that was a powerful message and a visual to kind of wrap that around. Yeah,
and we mentioned some accountability software that can help prevent that for a while. You know, it doesn't have to be forever. We always tell everybody it's, you know, nothing's forever, but take that step to just stop, you know. And a lot of our guys don't like reconciliation because, like, I walk in with the same sins over and over again. Father's going to, you know, be disappointed in me, you know. And God never slows down his forgiveness. He never wants to stop, you know, giving that forgiveness. We just in our minds start to think, you know, these goofy thoughts that we can't be forgiven.
We think we're very special. Yeah. What men need to understand is we haven't really had any new or original sins since Adam. So we're not very unique. You know, I ask any priest about any people that have come to confession, they're the same old. Matter of fact, Father Ben asked one time, he's like, why are most of you guys here coming to these meetings? Is it because your wife told you? And I said, well, for me, I got sick and tired of being sick and tired. You know, so that's why we got involved. Mm-hmm. We're not unique. We're not original. We're pretty plain, actually.
Yeah.
But we often get seduced into it. You know, we're looking for you know, a way out of our loneliness. We're looking for a way to justify something that's happened in our past. We're looking for, you know, something that we don't have, instead of looking within ourselves and our spouse especially to find those things.
Well, I like what you said earlier. Once you see something, you can't unsee it. So, I mean, with that in mind, you know, I think the narrative needs to change in our homes to play offense instead of defense, right? Because again, if you're playing defense, it could be too late. So talk us through some of the tools and technology that are available to families now in terms of playing offense. You mentioned Covenant Eyes. I know that's a big one. Talk about that.
So Covenant Eyes is a partnership that you would set up so somebody else can get a report based on your activities. It doesn't show all the images unless you go into a different setting and kind of see those, but you can set different levels. So if you're dealing with your children, you want to set it up at a high level of blocking certain things, it will do that. And then you can do it as adults. So my 18-year-old is treated differently than my 15-year-old. So that's a good way to do it. But a lot of our guys that use it are just trying to stop themselves and have somebody else to say, hey, I noticed I got a bad report. Can we talk about it? You know, they want that ability to say, you know what, I fell, but I needed somebody to talk to. And what was going on before that happened? You know, what was going on that led into that? And it's not a psychology moment. It's just a moment to reflect, to say, you know, I'm vulnerable here when I travel. I'm vulnerable here when I, you know, my wife is doing this. You know, I'm vulnerable when my kids are out of control. You know, these kind of things can be real triggers for guys, and just getting honest so that they can see those and they can, you know, deal with them a little more upfront.
And there's a saying of, you know, what keeps a lock keeps an honest man honest. That's effectively what it is. You know, I've said a lot of times, how would we live our life, even though us Christians know there's always a camera on us, God is always watching, right? When you know there's another man getting the review of, and it will flag things. You know, you'll get special alerts if something. One of the guys that I watch, he likes wrestling, and a lot of wrestlers have the tight shorts, but a lot of skin, and usually a lot of skin triggers an alert on the one person. So I usually review it a lot because it has the wrestlers on. It's not that he's doing anything bad. It just flags it as a possible problem. And it helps build that relationship from one man to another, or one man with maybe, you know, two or three other men, where you can have that relationship, that accountability. You know, again, if people know that another person is looking at these reports, you know, you're more likely to not do anything of it. There's one other man who's not Catholic who came to the group. He asked me to be his accountability partner, and I've been ever since he's come to the group, and I have not had a serious concern on his alerts at all. You know, and I think that's what's keeping him honest. He came from a really bad situation. I mean, he was really, really bad, but he has really, really come around too. I need to reach out to him and congratulate on how well he's been doing. And then we've got a few that have that moments where it just, and that gives you that opportunity to be, hey, I just thought I'd check in with you. You know, how are things going? And, you know, then you get that conversation started. You know, one of the things that Father Ben used to say too is give it up to God, you know, put it in the light, you know, and that's where that speaking it out loud, having that conversation with somebody, takes that control that Satan has away from you in that situation and bringing it to the sanitizing light of God. Mm.
So other than Covenant Eyes, which sounds pretty dynamic, are there any other resources that are out there?
There are some. I mean, Disney has one. I mean, you can get some routers that actually come with, I can't remember what it's called, Disney Plus or something like that.
But Disney Circle.
That's what it is. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, there's things like that are geared more towards family to have those conversations, and has a whole bunch of stuff too. Covenant Eyes is a fee. So does Disney Circle's a fee. There are some utilities out there, but we're more familiar with the Covenant Eyes.
And what we find though is that the meetings and the accountability partner probably have a bigger effect, you know, just based on, you know, hey, I'm getting ready to go on vacation. There's going to be a beach involved. Can I talk to you about it? You know, I'm going on a business travel and I'm going to be alone a lot. There's going to be alcohol involved. You know, I need to talk about that. Or maybe I can bookend a quick prayer before and a quick prayer with you at the end. And those kind of things, just, again, it's a preparation for the battle. And you guys, you know, really bring people's eyes into the battle of everyday life. And I like that. And I think we have to remind guys that, hey, this is a battle. And, you know, when you're prepared, you have a lot better opportunity for success.
And I like how you framed it. It's not going away. So get rid of the illusion that you can kick this and all of a sudden be quote unquote healed. That's a lie.
It's a big time lie. And pride plays into that a lot. Yeah, it's been, what, one, 2 minutes since I've, you know, had some thoughts or something like that. And I know I'm exaggerating, but what we don't do is we don't celebrate the success of those 1 to 2 minutes. You got to start somewhere. Mm-hmm. You know, eventually those 1 to 2 minutes becomes 5 minutes and then 15 minutes, then an hour. You know, again, it's this group helps other men by techniques in the meditations that we do, but also what other men have found out. I mean, you talked about that one individual who wraps his phone in a rosary. We've had a few men that have actually leave their phones in their cars. Mm-hmm. It's that bad, you know, just so they avoid that temptation.
And also, addictions tend to jump. So if you put one flame out here, it can jump into food or it can jump into other, you know, alcohol or other things. So just making guys aware that, hey, you know, it might, you know, mimic itself in a different format if you're not real careful about trying to find what the core problem is here and being real honest about it.
Let's talk a little bit about the impact this has on families. So, you know, as I talk to more men through this journey of building this movement of getting men to reclaim their priestly authority, when it comes to things like pornography and addictions to it, it has a tremendous impact on the family, like devastating. You used that word earlier. It was mm-hmm. devastating. Like, This is almost on some levels harder to deal with and cope than alcohol for so many families, because at least alcohol, they can kind of see and they can kind of connect and they can watch, and this is different. Talk a little bit about what you guys are seeing in terms of the impact it's having on families.
I mean, we've had most of the men that have come to our group that whose marriages were already kind of, you know, on whatever side of the fence. But we've had a few that didn't, you know, they were already that far gone. But what men don't realize is women, they take it personally, big time personally. I mean, we're told in our minds by the devil that we're really not cheating on our wife. We're not really going against our vows because it's not a real woman. You know, it's somebody on the computer. That's not how they see it, you know, and it's very devastating. You know, if you don't think your wife doesn't know you're doing something, you're fooling yourself. That's another lie.
They always know before we get honest. Yeah.
Because they're going to know you better than anybody. I wouldn't say maybe not your mother, but they're going to know you very intimately. They're going to notice those differences of you not doing what you normally do. They're very attuned to that, and they take it very, very personally.
I was very fortunate. My wife and her devastation, she had to kind of regroup, and she started a group called Essanon, and it just allowed some of the spouses to get together and talk about, you know, the person they were living with and how to deal with this and how to heal from it, how to, you know, move forward in a marriage that had been, you know, essentially cheated upon in their eyes, you know, even though, like you said, it wasn't with a real person, they don't feel like that at all. And they feel cheated upon, and you prefer that over, you know, me or over that. It's very personal to a woman. And so by connecting some women together, I think that's a very healing capacity. And there's not a lot out there for folks. I mean, you can read a book, but it's a lot better to get your emotions and your loneliness and your idealistic views put aside and say, okay, now I got to really help this person with their soul. And that's what my wife was praying for my soul at that point was, you know, this isn't just an addiction. This is something that's going to take you a lot further if you don't watch it.
I mean, I like how you said Essanon and your wife was in that group. How's that group going?
I don't know. I think it's going well. We've had some personal issues with our mother's sicknesses and things that we've been dealing with, but it's all over the country. I mean, these groups pop up everywhere because so many spouses are in the same boat. And anytime you get people connecting together, that's the whole theory of AA was two drunks got together and figured out what the whole world couldn't do. You know, they were putting drunks in all these, you know, insane asylums and places and giving them drugs and doing all these things. And they're like, two drunks got together and figured it out with God's help. So that's kind of what I think me and Vaughn have kind of do. We're two, you know, ding dongs that got together and just tried to figure things out together. Hopefully we're making a difference.
What about resources for children? I mean, this impacts families as a whole, right? So, I mean, is there something available for kids? I mean, you know, you talk about Essanon for the spouse, but is there anything else available for families?
There's getting to be more and more resources. I would say that Jason Everett and Matt Fratt have probably got the best resources out there for the Catholic faith. And they are going into a lot more of the middle schools and the resources like Forged, where it's a 33-day kind of focus on people praying together and looking at this together. And all the big wigs of the Catholic faith are in this 30-day study, and it's fantastic. And it's just being real with people that like, hey, this is going to hit you. And it's going to come at you, and you get to decide whether you want to walk away from it or not. And there's all these other people that are praying for you and being part of this community.
And one of the other things too is the bishop, it's starting to come back again, where some of the Catholic schools are starting to teach theology of the body. Mm. I mean, I would love to be able to get an opportunity, even if it's not Glenn and I, somebody to go into the high schools with this kind of group to kind of show men what really you need to be, that the idea of pornography isn't from God. It's pornography is self-pleasure. You know, it is not what God's intention is. And to try to steer the men, unfortunately, in high school, you're kind of a little bit late. They've already been exposed to it. But I think a theology of the body is a great place to start.
So often a mom wants to rescue a young man before the dad does. And we have to get to the point where the dads are talking to their kids about this and really understanding that this is a battle, but it's also one that God's already won. He's already been dealing with it. It's out there, but you can walk through the path without getting stains on you if you're real careful and you're knowledgeable about what this does to you.
And curiosity is natural for a boy, you know, for mm-hmm. a curiosity of what a girl is like. But there's a difference between curiosity and lust, mm-hmm. you know, and I think it's with, especially in this society, it's very easy to convolute those two together. And it's not, it would be to be curious for a male to look at another female and be like, yeah, that's good job, God. You did a great job on that one. There's another one to be like, that's a big difference.
Yeah. When you talked a little bit about the staggering statistic for women as well that are starting to, you know, come to light about their issues with this, you said 56%
of the young adults. It's like, I think it's 35% over 21. So it's still very strong.
Yeah. So, I mean, you had mentioned earlier, you wish that more women would be receptive or groups that could be there. So talk a little bit about what you, is your chance to talk to the women out there. Mm-hmm. What do you get to say?
In general, I mean, we've been spending years trying to market to the priests to help us come in and help them. We've spent years just trying to talk to men in general. I would love to, I know we've got like kingdom builders and things like that, that I would like to come and if allowed to talk to them about, you know, for anybody, because, you know, girls talk, women talk, you know, right or wrong. You know, I'm sure they know at least a handful of people, each woman probably that has suspicions of somebody having this problem, you know, because we had one gentleman that came to the group that every time he'd go to the bathroom and he had, you know, boys and girls, you know, he'd shut the door, he'd open the door after going to the bathroom and his wife was standing right there being like, what are you doing? You know, what were you doing in there? You know, and from her perspective, I can understand why she was feeling that way. I mean, that's a natural reaction. But the problem is then you put him on the defense instead of, you know, of being on trying to lead him to, I think you kind of have this, you know, maybe we ought to consider, you know, have you thought about this group? Or even if she doesn't talk to him, maybe talk to the priest, have the priest say, you know, I've had, you know, somebody talk to me about you, maybe concern about your, you know, possibility of having, you know, some sexual sin problems. You know, I would love to have the conversation with some of these women or women's groups and find out how we can help them too, be a resource. Cause like I said, most women know other women who know of other men that are having problems, you know, and we've just been marketing so much to the men that some of the men are like, yeah, I got this, you know, I don't need your help. Or if a woman knows, hey, if, you know, and I don't know the language, you know, but there's got to be some way for us to help them coin the right word or the right phrase to kind of get them thinking without, you know, oh, well, I'm here because my wife made me. We'll take those men, but the success isn't going to be as big with them as somebody who went there willingly.
Yeah. And for the women, to your point, I think it really is helpful when you encourage the man to go. And not everybody's in a marriage, but it really helps when the woman can swallow her pride for a little bit and let him heal and let him go to these meetings without shame or without, you know, kind of a penalty for being gone. Because sometimes women have little kids and they need the husband in the house, but that hour that they can go to a meeting and learn and search and try to figure themselves out, they'll come back a lot stronger. So it's really important.
I'd like to ask all our guests this final question. So I'll throw it out there to you guys. Are you hopeful?
I think we're always. We're very hopeful that the people that we run into are some of the holiest people we see. You know, they really are. They're broken and they're damaged, but they're very realistic with the path forward, and they're embracing the Catholic faith like nobody else. I mean, once you enjoy going to the sacrament reconciliation, everything else in life is easier.
Well,
and you get the beauty of the priest that really can help you.
And you know, you'll have parents or grandparents say, "Well, how can I talk to my kid about pornography when I'm having a problem myself?" You're the best person mm-hmm. to help that person with. And for those grandparents out there, you have a great influence on your grandchildren. Maybe you didn't think you were the greatest dad, you know, with your kids, but you can be an outstanding and fabulous grandparent. One of the benefits of that is what's the joke is why do grandparents and grandchildren get along so well? Because they've got a common enemy, you know. So you can be that high influence as a grandparent to really point that out. I mean, I work at a school, like I said, and the number of involved grandparents is amazing. Studies have shown parents or families that have active grandparents, the intelligence of those children tests higher. You know, so as a grandparent, you have an amazing leg up on even your own kids on the influences of your children.
Glenn, Vaughn, thank you both for being here and talking about a conversation and a topic that I'm sure is not comfortable for some people. But like you said earlier, it needs to happen. At the Arm of God, we embrace taking these topics on to allow men to reclaim their priestly authority and put things in the light that are oftentimes in the dark.
Amen.
So thank you both for being here and thank you for sharing.
Thank you for doing this.
Thanks for having us.
You've been listening to Belt of Truth, powered by the Armor of God Men's Movement, located in Fort Wayne, South Bend Diocese in Fort Wayne, Indiana. For more information about Belt of Truth and Armor of God, visit armingmen.com.